Today we're in Copenhagen and have the pleasure to have an interview with Esther Klang. Kasper, first question, if you have the chance to be a music instrument, which music instrument you would like to be, and in fact why? And no worries, we will edit it if it takes too long for having an answer for that question.
I think, you know, these kind of things change all the time. I think some days I'd like to be a synthesizer and be able to kind of change my behavior and change my outcome and be able to do pretty much everything. I think that's nice, but other times I also feel, maybe today I feel more like being a violin or something like that. Something very rooted. Some of the early instrument inventions and this very pure and elegant, significant, classic sound. That must be the best offer I have for today.
Yeah. So you're kind of still in the mood of Valentine's Day.
Well, I think Valentine's Day can be a lot of things, and it's quite blurred out these days anyway. The romantic part of it is not necessarily or the connection to love. I mean, it's a bit like a commercializing love, you know, and I don't know. That doesn't, to me, have so much to do with an old Stradivarius.
Okay. Well, then, coming kind of to music, well, it's kind of obvious question. You were now in 2000, and was it 2011, you were in Spitsbergen, in the place where this belonging to the Soviet Union, so to speak, and it's officially Norway and the rest. For me, it was like the question, you were staying there, and how was it for you staying there some days, some nights there, and then during the day doing the geeky field recordings and walking around and trying to capture some sound? So how was it for you?
Well, I think, first of all, it was just a really incredible journey for the three of us. We'd never really, or we had been taking tours before when we were younger, going to Russia for weeks and just, you know, as friends, just going somewhere. And since we've been playing over the past, you know, 10 years, been so busy with Efter Klang and all our doings, traveling has become much more of a, you know, of a formality around us playing a lot of places. And I think it was just really nice and liberating to go back and go somewhere. We knew we wanted to do music, but also we were completely uncertain about what we wanted to do. So it became also just a journey for the three of us where we get to know each other again and touch base with stuff. So I think, you know, this idea of running around with microphones was, of course, you know, you have to, it always reminds you of what you're doing, you know. But there's so much time in between where we'd be sitting and eating or going, discovering the area and just try and figure our way out there. I mean, there is a certain limit to what you can do with microphones. It's not like 10 days up there. If you start recording, you'll just get lost in recordings. It's going to be way too much material. So I think halfway through, you know, we already kind of looked at each other going like, oh, I think we might have enough. So let's try and, you know, let's try and be a little selective about it and think, also just get basically some inspiration from the place. I think that was a big part of it as well.
You were saying now inspiration. Normally it can happen that you kind of romanticize those places because they're kind of harsh, nobody is there anymore, and then you're going back to Berlin. So was it for you at one point where you were saying, ah, well, I had kind of little story where I was saw there and then, I don't know, was playing something? Or was it at one point changing for you where you're coming back to Berlin and saying, well, maybe in the first point I was romanticizing it and now it's more harsh, or is it the other way around that you had some things that you see now differently as you were perceiving it at the space?
I think that's exactly what is happening, and that's an interesting... That's really interesting about this idea of going somewhere and going back and starting remembering what happened there. I think everyone knows the feeling of going on a holiday and you can be arguing through the whole holiday. Maybe 10% is nice and you drink some wine and have some good food and sit at the water, but maybe most of the time it's actually kind of maybe struggling or not having good... And then you go back and you have those photos with you and you look at them and you just... feel like it was the most amazing time. And you know, you are romanticizing. That's exactly what our brains are doing, as our memory are doing. And that became crucial to this record, much more than the place itself. Pyramida is what it is. It's more the memory that we have and carried on from there. And there was, the idea was not to make a soundtrack for Pyramida, but to see what happens if we start there, and then we wander off and see what we remember. And it became much more abstract than just houses and left buildings. It became more like things that, for me, started morphing together with my private life. Lyrics became started kind of circulating more about sort of the idea of being a couple and struggling with yourself and connecting with others, which I found was just in a way a beautiful picture. The city kind of had this complete left and had its sort of like a history of something grand, but at the same time completely empty. And that became like a picture on a lot of things that happened in my own life. And I think what happens once you know, you go somewhere and you go away and you start memorizing it, it starts, your brain starts sort of mixing it all up together. And it's an interesting thing to realize. And I think that it's in itself can be very inspiring too, and try and not put too much focus on that beginning, but also what happens afterward.
I could say in an ironic way, because you were saying now you're coming back from vacation and then you're watching at the images, that's why you're maybe doing kind of documentaries now about your projects, let's say with Vincent Moon and Island, and now with Andreas Kofeld, the last one to your, let's say, recent album. Was it coming by kind of mistake or by chance that you say, well, at one point we should kind of bring something what we have now on stage to the cinema, or was it?
Yes, I mean.
Or for your kids, then yeah. In the 20 years, they say, you see, Dad, you know, when he was younger, he was as well somewhere out.
It's a question I can answer it in many ways.
Do it a more honest way.
Exactly, yeah. And I think there is actually a lot of honest answers to it. I think you can go the way of answering it. I think it's a documentation of what we're doing, as well as a record is a documentation of what we're doing. So when we planned our trip up there, we obviously wanted someone to go with us and just take some pictures of it and make sure that we had some material from there that could be maybe combined with some of the things we were doing. And then the amazing thing happened that this old Russian guy, Alexander, arrived to see Pyramida for the last time, and he used to live there for 20, 30 years. I think it's in generally this thing of making film is a nice way for us to distract ourselves from seeing the creation in different ways, not necessarily only in music. Efterklang has always been sort of a playground for us to do certain things. We're sitting here in Copenhagen. This is where things started for us. Actually, in the basement of this house, we started once we couldn't get any gigs anywhere. We arranged our own gigs and called it an event, and then we invited all our friends, painters and performance art and DJs, and then we put ourselves in there. But that was how we started, and it was how we had great success with that. And I think now we're doing film. We've been doing some an After Kids project with the kids playing the music. And for us, it keeps things dynamic to do different things. So this film part is just it's for personal pleasure. It's just because it's interesting. If it was just only about the music, I think there would be something lacking in a way. And it's always great to collaborate with people. Big part of what we're doing, collaborations. If there was no collaborations, I think we would also be dead bored with each other. So and then out comes the document, and I hope that people like that and they get some pleasure from that. But then again, that's a different story. What is the documentation of it? Why? And so on. It's been really enjoyable to see how people picked up on the whole thing.
Because, well, you were saying, you were kind of answering already a question what I had in my mind. It was with collaboration, because you were studying in Copenhagen, and then some years ago, you moved to Berlin to discover a bit the different side, and then you were getting in touch with guys like Nils Frambo or Peter Broderick. So how is it changing for you coming maybe from the Danish perspective, like all the time being in Copenhagen, and then getting into that thrilling Berlin, whatever, where you kind of get thrown into it, and then you meet some other people and doing some collaborations where you maybe were not used at the beginning. So how was it kind of, was it struggling at the beginning? I said, shit, you know, normally we were discussing it in Danish, and then we say, okay, fine. And then some other people with different mentality are coming into that process. So.
Well, it's great, also luxurious for us that we have so many foreigners in our band, and that you know, the environment becomes much more multicultural in a way. We have to talk about it in a different way than we used to. Mm-hmm. But I think Berlin in many ways helped us, giving us some fresh air. We Mads and I went there, Rasmus stayed behind, he's still in Copenhagen, and actually Mads just moved back to Copenhagen again, so I'm the only one left down there. But what it did to me in the beginning was it gave us something of the same kind of inspiration and this blossomness that we had when we arrived to Copenhagen many years before. Suddenly there was this new city, there was all these people that we got to know, and we had this album project that we were supposed to go through, and then, you know, you had to find those people. That's always great about making albums for us. You get to see, meet those people, and you invite them to the studio, they play along and so on. So it really gave us something new, really perfect timing, because I think it was after we've been making 3 records in Copenhagen and spent a lot of time here, it was great to come out and see something else.
Okay. I could ask you for hours, but well, at one point as well, like, there's kind of, you see as well, kind of the music from the other side, kind of from a label, from your own stuff. But how was it for you, kind of, when you're doing a little bit more, let's say, the business side, because, like, you're doing the creative process, then a little bit of business, it's, of course, not the main focus, but can you think that, let's say, in 20, 30 years, that becomes more the focus, because afterwards you're saying, well, I'm kind of bored, maybe we make a reunion when you're 45, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the big fear, isn't it? I think for everyone getting old, that everything is, that, you know, that you focus on the wrong things, instead of keeping things fresh and making yourself on your tippy toes, you know, while still being able to be mature in that cool way that makes it nice, you know. And I it's hard to foresee exactly where that will go. I think in our case, the balance between what we're doing as Efterklang creatively is the bridge to the business side of it is quite short, because Rasmus, big part of his involvement in Efterklang is on the practical side of it. So what we try to keep ourselves aware of all the time is to really focus on the things, and that is really to make the project we want to make, and also sometimes take decisions that are irrational from an economical point of view, like taking a trip to Pyramida and going in a survival suit for 10 days with a personal guide. That is not, that doesn't make any sense on the fake numbers, but I think it comes back to that we always sit down, where's the dream, try and focus on that, and then go with it, even though that might cost some money, and even though that might, and I hope if we can continue doing that for the next many years, I think then it will be fine. I think it starts kind of getting off track when you focus too much on, you know, the other point of it. So, you know, it's a constant. I have no idea. Who knows? If we talk again in 40 years and it's like that, who knows? And maybe you can remind me, you know?
Maybe I have to request
you. Yeah, exactly. well, we were talking a lot of music and that stuff, but of course, like, you're a musician, you're on stage, but there's all the time something kind of private life, you could say. Is there something else in private you would say you enjoy, something besides music? I don't know, doing gardening, baking or cooking? Yes, I heard one story you were doing kind of on cooking on stage in Russia once in the past. Or is there something, what were you kind of interested in? I say no. When I'm really honest, it's like 80-90% of my life is really filled up with music.
Well, I mean, when we're touring and doing things like that, yes, then it's a big part. But there's also a lot of spare time, like now, when we sit here in the sofa and waiting for something to be set up up on stage, you know. And I enjoy myself eating nice food, obviously. I think that's also a big part of the thing. We are all food lovers. We like good foods. And we've been lucky recently with a lot of good food experiences. So that's one thing, of course. But I'm a terrible cook myself. I like to go out instead.
So you should date a chef, so to say.
I should definitely. That's a good. That would be a good plan. And also, I love watching movies. I get a lot of quality time from watching some good movies and. So that's, you know, like when I'm home, usually when we're back home from touring, I mean, you just kind of catch up a bit with whoever is there and trying to make that work, you know. And when you're on tour, you're sitting in a van quite a lot, so a lot of the things are happening in either books or in computer screens. And in my case, I think I like the film part of it quite a lot.
Okay, we're coming now to the end of the interview, and. It goes like this, like, I think normally journalists or guys like me were maybe asking you in the past kind of similar questions, you could say, and then you say, well, we are kind of nice guys, and I'm kind of more positive energized person, and I'm smiling, but still in my inner thought, I say, oh my God, what's that's a question, I'm kind of bored with that. So what's kind of for you in person, a question you can kind of getting bored, because you already, after those many years, you are a musician, like professional musician, you're kind of getting the same. I say, fuck, ask me something else.
I think you're very good at it from the first point of view, though.
You have to ask the wrong questions.
you're doing a good job. I think as long as the journalists kind of do their homework a bit and read up on what they are going into and do not ask too many questions of things that are already written down, then everything can be relevant in a way, and then it's up to me to judge whether I wanna answer it or not. And I think in our case we're quite open to answer questions. But of course, one thing that is boring is of course when you have to repeat certain things about when the band was started, and also sometimes genre of music, I think, can be relevant if you ask, if you're curious about, how bands look at genres of music, but to define it in one word or something like that can, for at least in our case, be a little complicated. And I think maybe it's also on the shoulders of journalists to actually define that kind of thing and then maybe dig a little deeper. But I think, like in this interview we've just been through, there's certain things that all combined kind of gets a picture of what we are doing and what we're into and how we're working, but without saying too much. And that's the thing about music, isn't it? You can talk and talk and talk about it. It's all about the music in the end of it. Mm-hmm. So I think this kind of talk that we have here about just being a human and doing some things and maybe some people will find some inspiration to do something in their lives that could be similar, some part of that. That's what I hope in a way. That's how I use it, at least when I read interviews with other bands. It's exactly that. I take some parts out of it and I'm going like, oh, that's true. There's a certain truth in that specific answer there. And I kind of like that. I think that is what I like, when you get some truth out of it.
Was right, Danish diplomatic answer, I would say. That's Scandinavian. No, thanks a lot for the interview. Enjoy the gig in Copenhagen, in kind of your home country.
Yeah.
And yeah, looking forward to see you as well a bit around, and looking forward what the next couple of years will bring.
Absolutely, I'm very excited as well. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Me too. Thanks a lot.